This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharitz Abdullah and you've tuned in to The Breakfast Grill. iStone Group Berhad was founded back in 2007 and is principally involved in the design, manufacturing and modification of specialized automation machines which are used to automate manufacturing processes. Some of their notable clients include Dyson Household Appliances as well as the world's top electronic manufacturing service providers like VS Industry as well as ATA IMS. Now 12 years on, they've grown into a company valued at 200 million ringgit and will be listed on the ACE market July 17th. Now, so to speak about their growth plan, joining me in the studio this morning is Rebecca T, Managing Director of iStone Group Berhad. Rebecca, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Hello, nice to meet you. Good morning, everyone.
Likewise. So Rebecca, you co-founded iStone 12 years ago. So starting from four and now with 200 manpower. Interesting indeed. And also you are in a very interesting industry as well. The electrical and electronics as well as manufacturing industry is a major contributor to our GDP. But with the ongoing trade war, what is your outlook for this industry in the near future?
Okay, of course, we talk about the US and China trade war. What we see right now from our perspective, basically we see positive growth. We have seen customer actually swing their orders from China productions to Malaysia. In fact, we have received quite a number of inquiry, which like quoting for new production line or quoting for new machines for additional orders. So for us, I think because Malaysia are also fighting with China's on the manufacturing space, with our Malaysia experience and also manpower, also talents, I think we are pretty competitive in terms of offering in price and also technology. That's why Malaysia can be beneficial from this trade war.
And where are these inquiries coming from?
So they are basically from the contract manufacturers, the factories that actually builds the products. So basically they have seen end users or end customers.
Local companies or international?
Yeah, local
companies.
Company, yeah. Yeah, oh. Even international company also have. They actually tried to push some volumes from China back to Malaysia, probably to increase the volume in Malaysia so that reduce the order in China.
Okay, but at the moment, they are at the inquiry stage.
Yes, inquiry
at the moment.
Stage.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's talk more about your business. You had a big drop in revenue where in 2017, you performed well, where it contributed almost 40% of your overall revenue. However, it dropped almost 50% in the following year with a contribution of about 20% of the entire revenue. So that's a big drop. What happened?
So basically, that is majorly caused by 2017, our major customer basically set up a new production line in Philippines. So at that time, they because of new production, so they have set up two line production line. So basically, it's a new setup. That's why they have a lot of orders that we have to build a lot of new machines and testers for them to deliver to Philippines to run the new line. That's why you see there is a big jump in 2017. But when it's go back to 2018, so everything normalized.
But yep. Before that as well, I mean, you had a steady around 20%, in fact, around 20% of businesses coming from Singapore, again, dropping to 12% in 2018. Are you saying that that figure is actually the normal figure and not the average around 20%?
I would say 10+% because overall, Malaysia still is our major market, which contribute always like 60 to 70% of the revenue. So Malaysia is always our so-called home ground.
Yeah.
So basically, we want to grow Malaysia market. So overseas market is depends on whether where customer want to place their production or specialized automation machine. So sometimes the customer may load order in Malaysia, but then we actually delivered to overseas. So I think on the case of 2017 or 2016 or 18 depends on where they load the order. So customer might load order from Malaysia, but they will deliver to overseas location. So but then the way of re-invoicing our orders is actually based on where is the finance, who will place order, which country place order.
Okay. So, I mean, that comes down to the question, what is your projection for your international business revenue for 2019?
I think it will be very similar to 2018. And we always want to focus back in Malaysia because we see Malaysia is actually booming right now in our segment, which is a specialized automation machines. Looking at the growth rate based on the research, so they are looking at about 30 to 35% growth from 2019 to 2021. So there's a 35% growth. So right now, if you look at market data, so we are about 2% of market share inside the specialized automation machinery industry. So we see there is a big market for us to capture. That's why we want to focus back in Malaysia markets for now.
Okay. Mm. Let's look into some of the customers that you have. Mm-hmm. Now, more than half of it comes from Dyson. Do you see the danger on over-reliance on Dyson as your customer?
Okay. Basically, our relationship with Dyson started from day one. Mm. Basically, Dyson is a very good customer. Basically, they're an established brand in UK, British company, producing high-end, high-technologies product, breakthrough technology products. So we are actually very fortunate that we can work with them along the years. But of course, we understand there is a risk of too much reliance on single customer. Mm. That's why that is the one of the very big reasons for us why we want to go for a public listed. So once IPO, when we have the fund, basically with the proceeds that we receive, we will actually grow our business, grow our capacity, grow our talents so that we can capture more business from other customers.
But we do notice that your relationship with them, it seems to be on a project-by-project relationship basis and not long-term contract, which is a bit more stable in that sense. Why is this the case?
I think this is a very standard industry practice. So specialized automation machines order is always order to order basis. So on every new projects or new machines that customer want to make, then we all the suppliers, including ourselves, will actually propose our price, our proposal, our technology proposal to customer. So every deal we compete with competitors along with cost, lead time, technology, quality, and also customer service. Mm. So these are the things that we always need to compete with among the industry with other players. But that also help us to, I would say, more stable, because if let's say I lost this deal, but then for the next deal, then we will do improvement. I will just think, do a reflection. Why do I lost the last deal? Is it because I quoted too much, or because my technology solution is not good enough? Mm. So on the next deal, then we will compete with on the better ground. So we'll quote maybe lower price, higher quality, better technology. So these are the things that we can always improve. So I will not see that this is a bad thing. So this is a good thing, because every new deal is a new chance.
Has that ever happened before?
It's always, yeah. So for the past 12 years, we will not say we win on every quotes that we quoted. So they are lose and win. But overall, every time we lose the deal, then we will go and do reflection. We perform better next time, then we will get the deal.
Okay. More on Dyson. They are now planning to introduce electric vehicle in the next few years. Do you think you'll be venturing into the segment?
We hope to, but at this point of time, Dyson still keep everything in UK, and that is not on our call yet, so we'll wait for it to come to our regions.
Okay. Are you making any preparation in regards to getting yourself ready to participate or to venture into this segment?
We always ready. So basically, this is not our first time deal with automotive customer.
Okay.
So we do have other automotive customer before. So we actually produce testers and machine for automotive industry. So we have the experience that we can produce testers and machines for automations for automotive customer. Yeah, we are ready, and we are ready to take the challenge.
One last question on Dyson. I mean, they have several factories within this region. They have one in Singapore, and they also have one in Philippines. Do you have a role to play there? Have you been participating in their businesses there?
Basically, we deliver our specialized automation machines, testers, process machine automations to all the manufacturing locations else in Malaysia, Singapore, or even Philippines. Yes, we do take part.
Brilliant. Joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Rebecca T, Managing Director of iStone Group Berhad. We'll come back for more discussions with Rebecca to talk on their IPO plan as well as their expansion plan. So stay tuned with us on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned into BFM 89.9 on the Breakfast Grill this morning. It's Rebecca T, Managing Director of iStone Group Berhad. So we were speaking a lot about your business relationship with Dyson earlier. So now you are planning to go for an IPO on the 17th of July. What is your vision for this IPO plan?
So we want to remain strong. We want to hire more talents. So we want to get more business from other customers that I said just now. Mm-hmm. So basically, we want to remain strong and have our revenue and profit growth for the coming years.
Okay. So you have just relocated your manufacturing operations into a bigger plant in Taman Technology,
yes.
Johor. What is your current production capacity rate?
So we can produce 720 machines a year right now, compared to before we move in is 600 machines. So we actually have increase of our capacity.
And at the moment, what's the utilization of your production?
It's about 80%. So looking at our projected or targeted growth rate, about 15%. So we look at like the production space, or the capacity will be out of capacity again in 2 or 3 years' time. That's why in one of our proceeds, we actually want to build another D&D center, design and development center, next to our existing factories that will have us to prepare for more automations solutions for customers.
So within the next 2 or 3 years, you're looking at exceeding the capacity of this plant?
Yes.
So you're about 80% of the capacity,
mm-hmm.
and within the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to exceed it. Any confirmed or solid deals in the order book to support this growth?
As per May 23rd, our order book is 25 million. So the 25 million will realize in 2 to 4 months.
Okay. So it seems like a good time for your company to pursue an IPO. You know, you have a steady profit after tax and as well as combined growth rate. But in light of this trade tension that is happening at the moment, how is iStone's performance on a year-on-year basis?
So we have the growth of about 15%. So year to year, basically our company has been growing organically for the first year until today. Every year we grow for about 15 to 20%. So we think that 2019 will be on 15% growth as well. This is our internal target. So that's what we plan.
Okay, so before it was around 15 to 20%,
yeah.
And this year, at the moment, it has grown about 15%.
We targeted.
Okay, so one question though, how about the recent loss of tax break for your subsidiaries? I mean, iStone Solution Pioneer status expired on December 4th, 2018,
mm-hmm.
and has not been renewed. And you also have iStone Systems Pioneer status, which was revoked. How will this affect your bottom line in 2019?
Not entirely too. Actually, we have two tax exemptions. One is under iStone Solutions, which is a MSC status.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like 100% tax-free tax exemptions on the design and services. Then we have another one with which we acquired on 2018. So that is for manufacturing services, manufacturing of automations machine. That was under iStone system. So that is 70% tax exemptions. So that iStone system one, the exemptions will be until 2021. So
okay.
We actually 3 years more to go.
Okay.
So what is actually hit on us is the MSC status, because right now it's not expired, but the government decided not to continue or giving approval for renewal at the moment. So we estimate the hit is about 4% on the profit.
Okay, when you say at the moment, are you still appealing?
Yeah, we are continuous appealing, but then we have to look at what is our government directions on the MSC status for. I mean, we are not the only company that actually got hit by this new rules and regulations. So we are looking at what is the new government directions on this, and then we will try to work on it.
So you're saying 4% of your profit?
Yep.
So that brings down to 15%, your estimated profit after tax this year? Is that that is after?
Yes, but then internally we will try to work on whether we can reduce our expenses or work on better costing so that we can actually bring up the profits on our end.
Okay. So more on your IPO, do you plan to introduce a dividend policy for the company?
At the moment, we do not have a written dividend policy for ourselves, but then for the practice for the past many, many years, we have been practicing dividend policy for the shareholders. So we would like to continue if the cash flow allowed us to do that.
And what was the dividend previously?
It was always about 2 million a year. So translate about 20% of the profits. Yeah.
And that is something that you hope to offer even after
IPO. We will try to continue if the cash flow allows us to do that.
How long do you plan to be listed on the ACE market? And, you know, before you join the likes of the big players like Flextronic, Inari and Unisem at the, well, the main board, really?
We have an internal target of moving to main board in 5 years' time. So we will work hard to reach the target.
Okay, in 5 years' time. Okay, so let's move on to the discussion from IPO to some, well, basically the future of iStone. Part of your IPO proceeds will be allocated to construct a new design and development centre and also a process and product development. Are you planning to introduce a new business segment as a result of this?
Not really a new business segment, but it's more to focus on automations, because with the Industry 4.0 coming in, with government initiative on Industry 4.0 on smart manufacturing for manufacturing customer, so we actually want to introduce more automation solutions for customer. We have been producing single off Tesla, single machine, but then we think that with all the smart manufacturing and automations coming in, we tried to introduce robotic solutions, the AI, also big data analytics solutions for our customer. That's why you can see the D&D Center is more focused on developing solutions for automations. Plus, the new products are also more on the automations solutions. So that is our focus for the coming years.
Okay, so I mean, there's definitely been a lot of buzz about moving towards Industrial Revolution 4.0. And then we're looking at new technologies like IoT, artificial intelligence, automation. But the impression that we get is that companies, they still prefer to rely on low-cost labour rather than, you know, upgrading their technology. Do you think that this is the reality on the ground?
Reality, yes. For the past few years, customers do not want to spend a big sum of money at front so that they can actually focus on using the labour intensive. But then I think the trend has been changing for the past 1 year. Not only because of government have driven Industry 4.0 to the industry, but also from competition across the world. Because if, let's say, China, Singapore, even Vietnam has launched their Industry 4.0, or the manufacturing has been automated, if Malaysia doesn't change that mindset of using human labor, then we will lose out in competitions to these countries. That's why I believe, I mean, we have seen that all the manufacturing customer basically have shifted their mindset right now. Just they are in the way of adapting the changes, planning their budgets so that they can actually spend on the automation.
So at the moment, it's still at the planning stages?
Not really planning. We also have a lot of inquiry. And we also have a lot of projects they have done for automations for other customers, which we find is very very promising for the futures, because we have seen company, even SME, are willing to spend money to do automations for their factories. That's why we think Malaysia market is actually start to grow for automations.
So do you think that the government has done enough on this to promote, to accelerate this this sort of transition or transformation? Has there been a lot of incentive? I mean, all this, are they just commercial driven, or has there been some help coming from the government?
Basically, from what I know, because we have been in this industry and we actually involve a lot on, we have seen how the industry grow on the development of Industry 4.0 in Malaysia. Malaysia government actually just started this Industry 4.0 initiative last year, November. Ever since from then to now, it's more on bringing awareness to the industries, the manufacturing customer. So they have been giving a lot of talks. It, almost every month I receive like circulars or notice on asking custom, I would say asking manufacturing industries to go to the talk on, they will introduce us what's the Industry 4.0, what are the grants or initiatives that government will help the industries to implement these changes. So I think government are pushing on it, but it's more like the whole ecosystem have to grow along with it. So we have not only government, I think for ourselves as a specialized automation providers, we actually have to tell customer what are the growth that you can they can pick up from the Industry 4.0, and also what are the competition they will face from the others if they do not do that. So it's more like awareness that everybody have to bring to the industry customers, not only on the government side, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. But you speak about the reason why you're raising this IPO so that you're a bit more stable in terms of size and also in cash flow. But being located in Johor, do you have issues with regards to talent? Can the state provide you sufficient talent to support your ambition?
I am very confident with Johor State. Even myself, I graduated from UTM. And right now, what we do is we actually work along with UTM and UTHM, University Tun Hussein On. We have independent directors, Professor Rosari. He is a vice chancellor of UTHM. Basically, we have worked hand in hand with universities to tap the talents. So basically, right now, we do not hire talents after they graduate.
Okay.
So we have to go into university to do recruitment 1 year or one semester before they graduate. So we actually handpick all the nice students before they graduate.
But you have Singapore as a competitor just across the causeway. Is that posing a challenge in your recruitment process or
it's
recruitment ambition?
It's not really a challenge for me only, but I think it's for whole Johor industry. But we do not afraid of that because there are many talents in Malaysia. So if those that want to go Singapore, let them go. But we still have a lot of talents that want to remain in Malaysia, especially when Johor region actually is growing. So we have a lot of new companies set up in Johor that we can able to hire talents if the company is good. So that's why going listing, become a reputable public listed company is also one way for us to attract talents.
And you think that at the moment, the quality of talents that we have from coming from our local university is sufficient to support this wave of all these new technologies that are coming in?
Yes, you're right. Because how we work with the university is we are not only go there for recruitment, we actually train the student before they graduate. So we actually work hand in hand with university. Every semester, we actually go into university, talk to the faculty on what are the trends in the industry and what course they should be offered to the students. So that's why the university are also revising their course that they offer or subjects they offer to the students. So the students graduate right now, I mean the batch, we have taken 6 students from UTM on 1st of July.
Okay.
These students are all very good with automations, robotic, artificial intelligence, because this course are actually taught even before they graduate. So they are prepared when they come to our company with a lot of basic backgrounds and knowledge, which I'm very glad of it.
Brilliant. Okay, one last question before we end our interview today. Rebecca, we seldom interview women CEO.
Okay.
Of public listed companies, simply because they're rare. And of course, it works both ways. Employers must be willing to promote and provide facilitative environment, and women leaders also must be ready to accept that responsibility of that challenge. How would you encourage more women to sort of break that glass ceiling?
I think women has to be, women leaders or women entrepreneurs or women management need to be more confident of themselves. So women have the tendency of not believing they can do that. So, but in fact, they are capable to do that. So this is what I learned in one of the trainings of the women leadership, which I think that's entirely true. Sometimes I do not have a confidence of doing something, but I'll tell myself I can do that as good as anybody else. Then I'll just embrace it. So this is my advice.
On that note, Rebecca, thank you for speaking to us on The Breakfast Grill, and also all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking to Rebecca T, Managing Director of iStone Group Berhad. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharitz Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.